Union for Democracy Now!
Staff and volunteers at CJSF wish you the best for the new year.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. New York, this is Democracy Now!
Because of the escalating tensions and the fragility of the situation in the region, we are calling for maximum restraint from all parties. We don't want any rash actions that could trigger further violence.
The United Nations is urging all parties in the Middle East to show restraint after a suspected Israeli drone strike killed a top Hamas official inside Lebanon, raising the risk of a regional war. We'll speak to the Dutch-Palestinian analyst Mouin Rabbani. But first, the president of Harvard, Claudine Gay, has resigned 6 months after becoming the first black woman to lead the university. She'd been the target of an intensive right-wing attack following a contentious congressional hearing on anti-Semitism when she was questioned by Republican Congressmember Elise Stefanik.
Well, let me ask you this. Will admissions offers be rescinded or any disciplinary action be taken against students or applicants who say, from the river to the sea or intifada, advocating for the murder of Jews?
As I've said, that type of hateful, reckless, offensive speech is personally abhorrent to me.
We'll speak to Harvard professor Khalil Gibran Muhammad. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Fears of a regional war in the Middle East are growing after a top Hamas official was assassinated in a suburb of Beirut, Lebanon, on Tuesday. Hamas's deputy leader, Salah al-Aruri, was killed in a suspected Israeli drone strike that also killed six other members of Hamas. Al-Aruri was the chief of Hamas's operations in the occupied West Bank. He was also credited with strengthening ties between Hamas and the Lebanese group Hezbollah. In the West Bank, Palestinians are holding a general strike today to protest his assassination. Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah is scheduled to give a speech today responding to the killing. While Israel has not claimed responsibility for the assassination, one prominent Israeli lawmaker congratulated the Mossad and Shin Bet on social media. An Israeli army spokesperson said the military was in a, quote, very high state of readiness in all arenas and defense and offense. Lebanon's Prime Minister Najib Mikati condemned the drone strike, warning the attack, quote, aims to draw Lebanon into a new phase of confrontations, unquote. UN officials in Lebanon are urging all sides to show restraint to avoid a wider conflict. As we went to air, Iranian state media reported at least 50 people have been killed and scores injured after at least two blasts went off at an event marking 4 years since the death of General Qasem Soleimani, who was killed in a U.S. drone strike in Iraq. Soleimani was the head of the Revolutionary Guard's elite Quds force. In Gaza, the death toll from Israel's nearly three-month-long bombardment has topped 22,300. An Israeli strike on the Palestinian Red Crescent's headquarters in Khan Yunis has killed at least five people, including a five-day-old baby. Gemma Connell, who works with the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in Gaza, spoke from the El Amal Hospital after the attack.
This is a space where children were living. You can see on the floor the blood. The world should be absolutely horrified. The world should be absolutely outraged. A child was killed here today. Four more people were killed here today in a space that should be safe. But there is no safe space in Gaza, and the world should be ashamed.
In Rafah, a Palestinian man has set up a tent on the rubble of his former home, which was blown up in an Israeli strike that killed his wife, six children, and two grandchildren. Hamad Abu Slema said he survived because he'd gone out to find food.
This place used to be the house of my family, my house, and I'm the only survivor in my family. What separated us was that I wanted to get bread from the bakery. I wish I died with them. I wish there was no 4 or 5 minutes when I was away. That would be better than me living like this. Loneliness is tough and parting is hard, but I'm asking God at the beginning of the new year, 2024, to give peace to the people and to give peace to the Palestinian people and for this pain to end.
In other news from Gaza, the UN says half the population is now at risk of starvation. Arif Hussein, the chief economist at the World Food Program, told the New York Times, quote, I've been to pretty much any conflict, whether Yemen, whether it was South Sudan, Northeast Nigeria, Ethiopia, you name it. I've never seen anything like this, both in terms of its scale, its magnitude, but also at the pace that this has unfolded, he said. In Israel, 42 survivors of the October 7th attack by Hamas are suing the IDF, the Shin Bet Security Service, and Israeli police over the massacre. The plaintiffs, who were attending the Nova Music Festival in southern Israel on October 7th, accuse Israeli security forces of approving the event amid safety concerns and failing to shut down and disperse the crowd after receiving information about a security breach just hours before the killing spree. This comes as an investigation from the New York Times finds Israeli forces were poorly organized in the response and had no plans to stop such an attack, which went ahead unimpeded for hours. Harvard President Claudine Gay has resigned amidst a mounting firestorm fueled by right-wing politicians and media over free speech and support for Palestinian rights on campus. Claudine Gay, Harvard's first black president, announced she was stepping down Tuesday, just 6 months into her tenure, weeks after University of Pennsylvania President Liz McGill's resignation. Both women resigned in the wake of last month's congressional hearing on anti-Semitism, where they were grilled by lawmakers, including the far-right New York Congressmember Elise Stefanik, who gloated two down on social media following yesterday's news. Sally Kornbluth, president of MIT, is the third president Stefanik is hoping to take down. Following the hearing, conservative activists proceeded to smear Gay's academic history, accusing her of plagiarism after uncovering instances of inadequate citations of her work. In her resignation letter, Claudine Gay wrote, quote, it's been distressing to have doubt cast on my commitments to confronting hate and to upholding scholarly rigor, and frightening to be subjected to personal attacks and threats fueled by racial animus, she said. We'll have more on this story with Khalil Gibran Muhammad, a professor at Harvard Kennedy School, after headlines. In Sudan, the head of the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces, or RSF, Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, said his forces are open to an immediate unconditional ceasefire. Dagalo, known as Hemeti, made the declaration Tuesday as he signed an agreement with the newly formed civilian bloc, the Coordination of Civil Democratic Forces, or TACADUM, which is led by former Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok.
From here, we apologize to all our people in Sudan, in all its states, east, west, north, south, and center, for all the violations that took place. We are now extending our hands for peace. If they want peace, welcome. Nothing will make us leave Khartoum except peace.
This comes as Hemeti has been touring neighboring countries, meeting with the heads of Uganda, Ethiopia, and Djibouti in what appears to be an attempt to gain legitimacy as Sudan's leader ahead of any cessation of violence. Since the war between the RSF and the Sudanese army broke out last April, over 7 million people have been displaced within Sudan, making it the largest internal displacement crisis in the world. Another 1.3 million have fled Sudan. Some 30 million people are in need of humanitarian humanitarian assistance. Reports of mass killings and ethnic cleansing have been mounting in Darfur. Activists say the Sudanese people and its pro-democracy resistance committees are the ones who should decide Sudan's fate, and warn the RSF is attempting to whitewash its crimes. The Somali government is denouncing an agreement between Ethiopia and the breakaway Republic of Somaliland that would give landlocked Ethiopia access to the Red Sea port of Berbera. The Somali government has denounced the deal as an act of aggression and recalled its ambassador to Ethiopia.
Ethiopia's step is an offensive that endangers the stability and peace of the region, which was already wobbling with problems. It is a violation and an open invasion of Somalia's sovereignty, freedom, and unity of the Federal Republic of Somalia. The so-called Memorandum of Understanding and Agreement of Cooperation is null and void.
The breakaway Republic of Somaliland has not been internationally recognized since seceding from Somalia more than 30 years ago. Access to the Red Sea port is allegedly being exchanged for Ethiopia's future recognition of Somaliland's independence, though this has not been confirmed by Ethiopia. Many major multinational companies must for the first time ever pay a global minimum tax of at least 15% on corporate profits. The landmark tax reforms went into effect Monday, nearly 3 years after 140 countries agreed to a new system, which is expected to increase tax revenue by $220 billion per year. The U.S. is not currently participating in the reform despite backing the 2021 agreement. Countries that have implemented the 15% tax since January 1st include the EU, the UK, Australia, South Korea, Japan, and Canada, as well as nations known as tax havens like Ireland, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, Switzerland, and Barbados. The Center for International Corporate Tax Accountability and Research said the new global minimum tax would, quote, reduce incentives from companies to use tax havens and incentives for countries to be tax havens, putting a serious brake on what was a race to the bottom, unquote. Embattled New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez is facing renewed calls to resign after prosecutors issued a new superseding indictment accusing the Democrat of accepting bribes and abusing his power to benefit the government of Qatar between 2021 and 2023. Federal prosecutors say Menendez publicly praised Qatar in order to aid his associate, businessman Fred Davies, secure an investment from a fund linked to the Qatari government. In exchange, Menendez allegedly received luxury gifts, including gold bars, tickets to a Formula One race, and offers of an expensive wristwatch. Menendez was already facing charges of aiding the Egyptian government. The senator and his four co-defendants, including his wife and Fred Davies, have pleaded not guilty and are scheduled to stand trial in New York City in May. Civil rights leader Bishop William Barber is calling for more awareness and justice for disabled people following his ouster from a Greenville, North Carolina movie theater last week. Barber said staff at the AMC theater confronted him over his use of a specialized chair he carries with him and needs to use due to an arthritic condition he's had for decades. The bishop was attending a screening of The Color Purple with his 90-year-old mother. Bishop Barber says his removal was a violation of the 1990 Americans with Disabilities Act as he addressed the incident at a news conference this week.
The ADA Act owes its birthright not to any one person. People worked for years. They sent alerts. They draft legislation. They testified. They negotiated. They filed lawsuits. They stood up in places. They sat down in places. They wouldn't move from places. They fought, they stood, they engaged in nonviolence to say, you will not push us to the corner.
Yes, yes.
You will not block us from coming just because we're differently able.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
They built a movement. They built a movement.
Bishop Barber met with the head of AMC yesterday and said he plans another meeting with him. Donald Trump appealed a decision by Maine's Secretary of State to remove him from the Republican primary ballot for his role in the January 6th Capitol insurrection. Trump is also expected to appeal Colorado's Supreme Court decision to remove him from its state primary ballot, which also cited the insurrection clause of the 14th Amendment. The case will likely end up before the Supreme Court, where three of the nine justices were chosen by President Trump. And trailblazing U.S. Congressmember Eddie Bernice Johnson has died at the age of 88. In 1972, she was elected to the Texas House of Representatives by a landslide, becoming the first black woman from Dallas to win elected office. She also served in the Texas Senate before winning a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives in 1992, where she served for three decades before retiring in 2022. Eddie Bernice Johnson was a pioneer in many fields, including the first registered nurse elected to Congress, the first African-American to represent Dallas in Congress, and the first woman and first African-American to chair the House Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. Coming up, the president of Harvard, Claudine Gay, has resigned 6 months after becoming the first black woman to lead the university. Stay with us. Sometimes I Cry by Les McCann, the soul jazz pioneer, passed away last week at the age of 88. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The first African-American and second woman to lead Harvard University resigned Tuesday after allegations of plagiarism and backlash over her testimony at a congressional hearing on anti-Semitism last month. That's part of a broader effort to restrict pro-Palestinian speech on college campuses. Claudine Gay's six-month tenure is the shortest of any Harvard president in history. Claudine Gay will remain at Harvard as a tenured professor of government and African and African-American studies. In a letter Tuesday, she wrote, quote, "It's been distressing to have doubt cast on my commitments to confronting hate and to upholding scholarly rigor, two bedrock values that are fundamental to who I am, and frightening to be subjected to personal attacks and threats fueled by racial animus," she wrote. The plagiarism allegations against President Gay were part of a campaign started last month, led in part by conservative activist Christopher Rufo, who cheered her resignation on X, writing in all capital letters, "Scalped." The conservative website, the Washington Free Beacon, published new plagiarism allegations against Gay Tuesday. One of the authors Rufo accused Gay of plagiarizing was her thesis advisor, Gary King, who's dismissed the allegations, telling the Daily Beast, quote, "There's not a conceivable case that this is plagiarism. Her dissertation and every draft I read of it met the highest academic standards," he said. The Harvard Corporation issued a statement Tuesday saying Gay, quote, "acknowledged missteps and showed, quote, remarkable resilience in the face of deeply personal and sustained attacks," unquote. Claudine Gay's resignation comes after the University of Pennsylvania president, Elizabeth McGill, also resigned just days after the two appeared, along with MIT President Sally Kornbluth, at a congressional hearing led by right-wing Republican Congressmember Elise Stefanik. This is Stefanik questioning President Gay.
It's a yes or no question. Let me ask you this. You are president of Harvard, so I assume you're familiar with the term intifada, correct?
I've heard that term, yes.
And you understand that the use of the term intifada in the context of the Israeli-Arab conflict is indeed a call for violent armed resistance against the state of Israel, including violence against civilians and the genocide of Jews. Are you aware of that?
That type of hateful speech is personally abhorrent to me.
Well, let me ask you this. Will admissions offers be rescinded or any disciplinary action be taken against students or applicants who say, from the river to the sea or intifada, advocating for the murder of Jews?
As I've said, that type of hateful, reckless, offensive speech is personally abhorrent to me.
That was last month. On Tuesday, Congressmember Stefanik celebrated Gay's resignation on social media, writing in all caps, "Two down." Stefanik added, "This is, quote, just the beginning of what will be the greatest scandal of any college or university in history," and vowed to hold more hearings. Congressmember Stefanik is a major Trump ally and a Harvard alumna who was removed from a Harvard advisory board in 2021 over her comments about voter fraud in the 2020 election that had, quote, no basis in evidence. Meanwhile, the conservative activist Christopher Rufo announced Tuesday evening he was, quote, contributing an initial $10,000 to a plagiarism hunting fund. For more on all of this, we're joined by Khalil Gibran Muhammad, professor of history, race, and public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School. He's the author of The Condemnation of Blackness, Race, Crime, and the Making of Modern Urban America. Professor, welcome back to Democracy Now! It's great to have you with us. First, if you can respond to and were you surprised by the resignation of Claudine Gay yesterday?
Thanks, Amy, for having me on. I have to admit, I wasn't surprised, but I was extremely disappointed. This is a terrible moment for higher education. Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania are just the beginning. The political attacks that you've just profiled by Elise Stefanik and most other members of the House committee that held those hearings on December 5th have actually declared war on the independence, on academic freedom, on the truth of American history, and are present at all colleges and universities, just as Governor DeSantis has done in Florida and Greg Abbott has done in Texas and other governors and legislative bodies in many other states. This is the next step in now a three-year-long campaign to destroy this country's capacity to address its past and its present, to deal with the structural racism, the systemic inequalities that cause premature death amongst millions of Americans every year. And right now, the Republicans and their allies are winning.
So if you can put Claudine Gay's Gay in context, the first Black president, the first Black woman president, the second woman to lead Harvard University now. Her presidency is the shortest in Harvard's history. And put in the context of the whole attack on DEI, the whole attack on critical race theory. And if you can talk about this campaign by Stefanik, by Rufo, as they go from the congressional hearing, which didn't succeed in taking her down, to this issue of plagiarism.
Okay, well, let me start with the fact that Harvard's the oldest, wealthiest, most prestigious university in this country and globally. So for almost 400 years, Harvard has systematically excluded white women and people of color, by and large, from its hallowed corridors, from entering its gates. That's just an absolute fact, a fact that the university under the previous president, Larry Bacall, admitted to in a report called the Harvard Legacy of Slavery Report that was issued just over a year ago, a report that points out precisely how not only did the university exclude people of color from getting an education, but in fact collected the bodies of indigenous people and enslaved people for scientific research, and led into the 20th century calls for scientific racism that helped to construct the racial hierarchies that we still live with in this country today. That's Harvard's own history as a leader. So the very university that finally arrived at a moment where it not only reckoned with its own history, but also recognized that talent is universal, and that the best of us actually have the ability to move this country and world forward in a time when the planet is literally on fire, and most people who will suffer most from that will be people of color. That is the context that brought Claudine Gay to the presidency, and she was ably and excellently qualified for that role. She had proven herself in previous administrative roles as dean of the largest school on Harvard's campus. So when we put that in context, the affirmative action decision last June was the first victory for the conservative right in this country to dismantle the very possibility that people like Claudine Gay would have the qualifications, the Harvard and Stanford degrees necessary to take on such positions. And so within that political context, the attack on affirmative action is one example of what's been going on, which is 30 years old, a battle. But additionally, and more proximate to this moment, people like Christopher Rufo in late 2020, in response to George Floyd's killing, have initiated an effort, what we would call a white lash or a backlash, forms of misinformation to essentially define a body of knowledge known as critical race theory that is the intellectual basis for understanding how systemic and structural racism work, as anti-American, as Marxist, as a threat to American civilization. And that led to 24 states criminalizing the teaching of history in all its truth about race, about racism, about sex, about gender. That led to the banning of DEI in places like Florida and to some degree in Texas. And what we saw happen here with this campaign against Claudine Gay, where plagiarism became the pretext, kind of like a black motorist with tinted windows being stopped only to look for drugs so that they could be incarcerated as part of a war on black people during mass incarceration. That is the context where Christopher Rufo, who initiated the critical race theory anti-woke campaign, has now culminated in yet another victory with taking down Claudine Gay over a very, very minor offense within academic context.
We're talking to Khalil Gibran Muhammad, professor of history, race, and public policy at the Harvard Kennedy School. I want to turn to an op-ed published in the Harvard Crimson by Bernie Steinberg. He was the executive director of Harvard Hillel from 1993 to 2010. It's headlined, "For the Safety of Jews and Palestinians, Stop Weaponizing Antisemitism." In his essay, Steinberg supports President Gay. He wrote, quote, "During my long career as a Jewish educator and leader, including 13 years living in Jerusalem, I've seen and lived through my community's struggles. Now, as an elder leader with the benefit of hindsight, I feel compelled to speak to what I see as a disturbing trend gripping our campus and many others, the cynical weaponization of antisemitism by powerful forces who seek to intimidate and ultimately silence legitimate criticism of Israel and of American policy on Israel. In most cases, it takes the form of bullying pro-Palestine organizers. In other cases, these campaigns persecute anyone who simply doesn't show due deference to the bullies." Steinberg continued, quote, "The recent effort to smear our new university president, Claudine Gay, is a case in point. I applaud the decision by the Harvard Corporation to stand by Dr. Gay amid the ludicrous charges that she somehow supports genocide against Jews, and I hope Harvard will continue to take a clear and strong stance against any further efforts by these powerful parties to meddle in university affairs, especially over personnel decisions." Now, again, Those are the words of Bernie Steinberg, who was the executive director of Harvard Hillel from 1993 to 2010. Of course, this was before the resignation of Claudine Gay, and we can only assume that the Harvard Corporation, the kind of board of overseers of Harvard, made a deal with her, you know, helped to force her out. So they had first supported her, and now, with tremendous pressure also from billionaire donors, she is out. If you can talk about the significance of Harvard Hillel, the former